All my three children went to a school in Eastern Enfield called Bishop Stopford. It was the school to send your children to in those days. And the headmaster was a gentleman named Mr. Roberts. And he had a policy at the school that if you were a pupil at that school, you were a pupil for 24 hours a day for 7 days a week. You were a representative. You were an ambassador for that school. So how you behaved outside the school reflected on the school. And people judged the school by how you behaved. My oldest daughter told me an incident one day that she was coming home from school in the evening after school, and a load of them were on the bus, and they got to Edmonton Green, and they all came spilling off the bus, and there was standing the headmaster, Mr. Roberts, with a notebook in hand and a pen to take down detentions for all those children who were either messing about or were improperly dressed. Apparently you could be improperly dressed if you'd taken your tie off, if you pulled your shirt or your blouse out of your skirt or your trousers, or in the winter, as this was, if you'd taken off your hat. There was no argument, you got a detention. She said often you would be up on the top of the bus and you would suddenly look down and you would see Mr. Roberts' little mini following the bus along. So it worked, the children knew how to behave. It reminded me, I read of a church, this choir, a children's church choir of 28. They came over from America to give concerts all over Britain. And the person who wrote, he was the choir master, and he said they had 70 pieces of luggage, electric piano, and other equipment to hump on and off their tour bus as they went round the country. Every time they gave a concert, they had to do this, load the bus, take it off, load the bus, take it off. At the end of their trip, the bus driver, who had been with them for the whole of the trip, took them back to the airport to see them on their way, to get their plane back to America. But just as everybody was ready to get off that bus, the driver grabbed the microphone in the bus, and with tears in his eyes, the bus driver thanked the young children for how wonderful they had been. He'd seen them tired. He'd seen them when they were hungry and thirsty. He saw them when they were being rushed from here to there, didn't have time to think or sit down. He'd seen them rush all over the place. But he wanted to thank them because he said that they had been a credit to their school or their church, how they had behaved. He had been watching them. They didn't realise, but he'd watched everything they'd done. And he'd said they were a credit to the church they came from. But that wasn't the end. When they got home, many of the children, when they got back to America home, many of the children sent cards and letters of thanks to the driver for being such a good driver. And some told the driver why they believed in Jesus and why they went to church and why they were in the church choir. He sent an email back thanking them for the cards he'd sent. And the bus driver said that he saw Jesus in the way the children had behaved. He told them that what he'd seen had made him think again about Jesus. Those children had sung to hundreds of people throughout Britain. But the choir master said, I wonder, was the real meaning of that concert, that visit, just for that bus driver, to make him rethink about Jesus? In Ephesians 5 verses 1 and 2, we read these words. be imitators, or copy, or be like. Be imitators of God and walk in love. And walk in love. You see, when we call ourselves Christians, it's not the witness only of what we say, it's also a witness of what we do, how we conduct ourselves. People are watching us all the time. We claim to be Christians. They're just hoping, many, that we'll stumble and they say, "There, you're all the same, you Christians, you're a pack of hypocrites." So we have to not only watch our tongues, but we have to watch the way we live as well.